Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. This was a... Why don't you start the song when it's supposed to be started?
Now that you wanted me to start it.
You don't have much of a lead in there, Margaret.
I know I don't. Isn't that saying a lot? I don't have much of a lead in. How about dead air? How about nothing? How's that for a lead in?
Are you going to sing the song, or are you going to... Are you going to sing the song, or are you going to jaw jack it?
Am I going to what?
You want to start all over again? Because this was going to lead the show in.
Hold on, hold on. This is for the Chicago Cubs. It seems so dis... Well...
Yeah, okay. So anyway, welcome.
Wait. Don't... La-da-da. Even the Navy. If it would take me back to my island dream.
Boop. Get out of here with that.
Phil, I'm trying to, you know, what I'm doing, I'm getting up to speed on the song.
You're getting up to speed on that song? You know, I forgot that it existed in any real sense.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I've certainly, have thought of the song 26 Miles Across the Sea, where the Catalina is, and so forth, but in a real sense, in the concrete sense of reality.
Well, is this gonna take long?
What do you mean, is this gonna take long?
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to... You know what? It does make a damn bit of difference. Go ahead.
Well, General, I love you and I respect you, but you're right, it doesn't. All right, now...
So we've pretty much butchered that. Welcome to the show. It's great to be with you.
What have we butchered exactly, Phil? I'm trying to sing the song 26 Miles Across the Sea because of the Chicago Cubs and the fact that they used to be in spring training. There in Cub... It's Santa Cub.
Yeah, it's Santa Catalina.
Yes, it's Santa Catalina.
Santa Catalina?
Folks, Phil's nose.
Santa Catalina.
Santa Catalina, yeah. Anyway, yeah, the Cubs used to train there. Why are we doing this?
Because of the Cubs making the playoffs, which, you know, we should have done this last week, because right now they're on the verge of having their asses kicked out. And what, have they lost, like, two?
I don't know. I'm not keeping track, but Yeah, the Cubs are not doing good. The Mets are the bad boys on the block this year, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out. Meanwhile, back in the beautiful and succulent land of Canada, what happened to the Toronto Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays are right now at present, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, we ought to have a sports guy again.
Well, maybe we'll get in, what's his name, Jack Armstrong?
I was going to say he was a walking disaster. Jack Armstrong is a waddling disaster.
Yeah, that guy is a waddling, limping disaster.
Well, he wanted to have something to do on a show, and so we were trying to give it to him to do, but, you know. Anyway, let's check out traffic. Here is Bob Bacon. Bob?
I've got a handrail, I should say. What I'm trying to say is there's a hand job on the handrail down the 16th freeway. We've got Skyboy out of the west side right now. Skyboy?
I'm going to have a middleman that went down that upstairs. Probably going to see a hand job. Then about a little middleman over there, a little tiny man.
Right, coming up here on the San Gabriel River Freeway. You ever see where there's a birch tree, I think is what it is. I do a lot of bird watching. There's a guy down there. I don't know what he's trying to do or what he's trying to prove, but boy, it looks dangerous to me. Bob, baby, traffic.
What'd it say? Next to it.
I like this song. Is this Loopy Fiasco?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, this is great. A million ain't shit with a billion next to it.
Oh, for God's sake, did you watch your language?
Hey, this is the new medium, you know? We're saying it like it is.
Wealth next to it. Wealth ain't shit when it's health next to it.
I love it.
In the lane with nobody else next to it. Ain't get hit by myself.
All right, well, it's Loopy Fiasco and next to it with a Ty Dolla Sign.
What's going
on? Music.
Ty Dolla. Ty Dolla Sign.
I don't know who the hell. I wouldn't know Ty Dolla Sign if he was shining my shoes.
That is absolutely racist.
Oh, come on, will you shut up?
Look at friend, I don't like being told to shut up.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell you to shut up, but we gotta get our asses in gear on this motherfucker here, man. Excuse my French, folks, and I wouldn't be speaking in such horrific terms, but we're late, Jack. We are late.
Well, what Mr. Henry is referring to is we had a power outage here at the studio.
Yes, we did.
Now, what happened? Well, we had a power outage at the studio, so we had to take a lot of time to,
But don't scratch your nose and pretend like you're one of the supervisors at Southern California Edison. Just go ahead and give it to us.
You want it straight, huh?
What is it with you, anyway?
You want it straight or don't you?
Yes, I want it straight.
The power went out.
Yeah, well, the power went out. What do you...
I had to belch.
Yes, she had to belch.
All right. So the power went out and what?
So we had to power everything up, man. I mean, when the power go out, you got to power it up. You don't power up, you power out. And then you pout.
You power out and then you pout. Oh, look at that. There's Rosalind Russell.
You guys turn that TV off. Coming up, folks, we have with us Bobby Dooley, and she's going to be talking about... what the hell is she talking about, man?
I don't know. But, did you hear that? There's something less than something with a rubber next to it. Holy shit.
Oh, I know. She's talking about Haunted Air and the different Halloween costumes of years gone by. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And the press is the best that do it. Woo! Let's do it. Club ain't turned some bitches into it. Support our podcast by signing up for a backstage pass with our massive archives, our Lions games, our classic podcasts, our Saturday show, our Friday night chats, exclusive pre-show prep and commentary with the HD videos. You can't go wrong, man. And you can also share that podcast with your friends and your family and also on social media to spread the word about the Phil Hendry Show. There's all kinds of podcasts. There's all kinds of people running their yaps on a microphone these days. Of course, that's the beauty of the new technology, the new media, the digital medium. It's a beautiful thing. And, you know, it's very interesting. I talked to friends of mine who are in the radio business, and they say, well, you know, and I say, let me tell you what's happening in podcasting right now, right now's, you know.
Well, Phil, do you need to blow the nose?
Do I need to blow the nose or my nose?
Do you need to blow a nose?
Yes, I do.
What are you laughing at? He does this in the morning.
What do you mean? Do I need to blow a nose?
Do you? Yes.
Yeah, you need to blow a nose.
How about my nose?
We were getting around to that. We just wanted to determine, do you need to blow a nose, the nose, anyone's nose?
No.
Well, then you're lying.
Yes, then you don't need to blow a nose.
I need to blow my nose. Is that good enough?
It's not good enough. Sorry.
All right. So anyway, folks, be sure to get a podcast or any podcast, someone's podcast.
You gotta make a good point there, man. I want to hear that.
The point that I was going to make before I was interrupted and told or asked if I needed to blow a nose is that what's happening, man, in these here United States. No, a lot of my friends in radio, and you know, you can't help it. You know, there's a great deal of prejudice against the podcasting world. But I'm telling you, this is what's happening. And it's happening because radio blows a chipmunk, man.
Well, you got to give the speech now. Don't start talking down some of my favorite... You know I love the Lars Larson and so forth.
Yeah, I know you like your favorite conservative hosts, and that's just wonderful. But it's wall-to-wall that shit. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to say is you're going to get far more diversity and far more entertainment and far, far more uses out of this medium that, in terms of audio entertainment than you'll ever get in radio. Radio has basically surrendered to one thing, conservative radio, sports radio... You know.
That it was the shit.
Yes, it's surrendered to shit. And I'm going to go back to that again. You know, I haven't mentioned this on the air, but I'm going to say it again.
Well, Phil, this is going to get you into all kinds of trouble.
With who? Who's going to get where? What, you know, who's going to, you know, what's going to hurt me now?
Well, you know, if, in case you ever want to go back on the air.
I don't want to go back to radio. I don't want to go back to radio. Not unless they offer me hundreds of millions of dollars per hour.
Well, and the likelihood of that is what?
Zero. But the point I'm making is, I got invited to be on a show to promote the LA Podfest, and then I got the word, like, at the last minute, no, not the last minute, I got the word, like, maybe a week before, no, your appearance has been canceled, and, I didn't even ask, they just said, apparently somebody up the food chain canceled it. Now, I can certainly understand if they want to not have me on the air because... I suck, or, you know, because I'm not interesting, or I'm, you know, whatever. That's going to be a decision that you make, but you don't make it up the food chain, man. You make that, like, the show itself, like the hosts, like the producer, like somebody, you know. They'll say, oh, let's not have him on, let's have somebody else. But you sure as hell don't make that decision, like, at the general manager level, or at the, even further up, unless there's something else going on, unless it's, you know, the
corporate has taken an interest in the,
So what are you saying? Yeah, that the heavy hitters...
Someone up the food chain, as Phil said, at the corporation. Can we say the company?
No, you may not say the company, okay? And the reason why I'm not saying the company or the station is not to protect me. It's to protect the people that whose show I was going to be on.
You mean it would...
Shut up, Bud, or I swear to God, they'll never find your body.
Oh, I would...
They'll never find the body.
Yeah, just shut up, man.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, then why are you running your mouth?
I wanted to fill in some of the details. Just sort of fill in some of the cracks.
Yeah, you want to fill in the cracks, huh? Get a load of that. I'll bet you got a lot of experience in that.
How dare you?
Shut up. Anyway, how dare you? So anyway, that was the whole thing. And,
what was the whole thing? You haven't even told the story.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm just basically saying I got canceled off that show, and they said the cat that gave me the news said, yeah, it was a decision made up the food chain. I don't know, you know.
Well, how do you know they weren't saying that to protect the actual hosts of the show or whatever? You know, they wanted to say, well, they really don't want you on the show, but...
Because they could have come up with a better excuse than that. They could have simply said, hey, you know, we got to bump you because we got another guest. We got to... They could have come up with some technical things that would have been far more believable than, hey, somebody up the food chain bumped you. But anyway... It's all good, and we're very, very happy to be with you here this morning. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Now, waiting for an airplane at, I believe she's out on the, not on the tarmac, I think it's Burbank, but I could be mistaken, is Bobby Dooley, and we're going to talk with her in just a second here. Halloween is upon us, and there is a interesting book that has been published. It's now, I think, about 2 years in the running, or 2 years, I should say, in print, and that is called Haunted Air. Bobby got a hold of this book and is going to be talking with us about it, talking with us about the book and about what's inside of it. Bobby, good morning. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Phil. Steve and I are here at Burbank. We're about to catch our flight to San Francisco. We're going to go up and take a little much-needed vacation time. We're going to go and have some dinner and sit in the hotel and then go outside and walk around and then go back into the hotel.
That's great.
Sounds exciting.
No, it doesn't, but that's what... We're going to do. That's what everyone does when they go to San Francisco.
Well, there are other things, but let's just...
Really, what are those?
You can... There's other things to do. So...
Well, I think I've done them all, Phil, so...
All right.
So we're going to be talking today about Haunted Air, and the reason why... Steve, can we step out of the jetway, please?
Well, the plane's going to land.
The plane hasn't even arrived yet, and we've got the jetway is open, and they're trying to get trays and dirt and filth off the plane.
I'm sorry. You want to move?
What are you guys doing?
Steve's standing here waiting to get on an airplane. That it's not even our plane. It's another plane. Our plane hasn't landed yet.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
All right. So tell me about this book, Haunted Air.
Well, Haunted Air is a book that was found by... it's a book that was actually published, put together by a man, a musician. I don't know his name. Some kind of a weird name. In fact, I think the whole project's pretty weird. I'm pretty sure the man... might have even pulled these pictures, these photographs, out of a family collection of some kind, because they're just too spooky for words.
All right, well, I'm looking at some of the photographs. Now, the guy, can we get this guy's name, Bud?
What's the guy's name?
The guy that published Haunted Air. You can find his name up by putting the name of the book.
Put the name of the book in the search.
Oh, okay.
So some of these photographs are quite stark and quite, they look frightening, but they're not, they weren't intended to be this frightening, were they?
No, I don't know, Phil. You're looking at photographs of individuals whose heads are misshapen, hunchbacks, people with snouts instead of noses. It frightens me, and it's in black and white.
Well, all of these photographs look very macabre, and they look as if they're from some nightmare world of black and white insanity. Don't they?
Yes, and when I look at these, I thank God that I wasn't born and I didn't live in those times.
Can I make a point?
Yeah, go ahead, Phil. I was going to say, that's not the way they're supposed to look. It's because of the black and white photography.
Well, hold on for a minute, Steve.
I think our plane's here.
That's nice, honey. They're still going to have to land it.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Why are you guys in such a hurry to get to San Francisco?
Really, it's way too much of a story. I
gotta get out of town.
Gotta get out of town.
Wait a minute. There's a story here. What's going on?
Steve needs to get out of town because he's got a couple of.
You guys with these gambling debts, I'm telling you.
It's not exactly a gambling debt. It has more to do with
unpaid bill. I owe some friends
Yeah, I'll bet you owe some friends. All right, so as the Dooleys are waiting there at the airport...
No, we are not thugs, Phil. We are respectable people.
No, I know that you are. As the Dooleys are waiting there at the airport and we're looking for the name of the guy that, wrote this book, do you know this guy's name?
What guy?
The guy that wrote...
Hold on for a minute, what? Can I have something to... Yeah, I didn't get anything to eat. Is there anything on that tray?
Okay, you guys, hold the line. Bobby and Steve Dooley are standing in a jetway there waiting to get on an airplane that hasn't even landed yet. They got to get out of town because...
apparently Bob Dooley, not Bob, but Steve Dooley apparently owes some money.
Yeah, owes some money, and this is a... owes money to some friends.
Yeah, well, you know what? All these creeps and all these jackasses, all these guys you associate with, Phil, are going to get you in deep, deep doo-doo someday.
Yeah, but you know, you can't hang around these gamblers.
I don't hang around these guys. It's their problem.
Do you gamble?
No, I do not gamble. Not in the sense that these guys do.
They should be going on the DraftKings, you know.
Yeah, that's way safer, and you're probably a better way of making money, do you think?
There's no question in my mind. I don't know why these guys are, you know, hanging around with some of these suspect people. Maybe they promised them a bigger payoff or something. I don't know. Maybe he's got to make more money than he can make on DraftKings because he owes some criminal, the criminal head of a criminal gang and or family.
Hey.
I'm applauding myself, bud. You don't need to.
Okay.
All right. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back here with more from Bobby and Steve Dooley. Lions have concluded week six there in their schedule, and I don't want to give you the I won't tell you what happened. You can find out. All you have to do is head on over to our website, philhendryshow.com, and you will find there for your edification the Milwaukee Lion archives. And they just played their the most recent game against who?
The Tucson. Yeah.
Tucson?
Yeah, Tucson.
The Tucson Tequila, right?
Yeah. They played that game.
What happened?
You got to listen to the game and find out. It's all over there on our website, philhendryshow.com. It's a pretty unique little offering that we do provide for you. And we never would have brought that back had I not been hounded and bothered and bugged until I almost was bleeding for the eyes and the ears to put it back on the air.
Well, that's it, Phil. Hang it on someone else. You were the one that brought that back. You're the one that is putting all that work into it.
Yeah, I am. But, you know, it was. But what I'm trying to say is by popular demand. How about that?
That's a much better way of saying it.
Right. So that's where that's at, Jack. And you can certainly take advantage of that at philhendryshow.com, including all of the archives that we have for your, you know, teenage dancing and listening pleasure. And we have video archives and stuff like that. What are you doing, bud?
Look up behind it here.
So head on over to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, a Backstage Pass subscription to support our website and to support the podcast we do each and every day. You can head over and grab yourself a subscription there. All right, you find it?
Yeah, found a haunted air.
I'll do it. Thank you very much. Before Bobby comes back on here, Haunted Air is a book that was written by, oh my God, this is very strange. A lot of very strange pictures.
Yeah, it's a book that is basically it has archived old Halloween pictures. Charnel House. Oh God, this is really scary. But the dude that, and David Lynch wrote the foreword. The dude that wrote this, the dude that put it together, is Ossian Brown. And maybe that's what they mean, ossuaries. Ossian Brown is a musician. And David Lynch did the foreword to this thing because it's it has that look to it. Right, let's get Bobby back on the line here with her husband, Steve Dooley, there at Burbank. And waiting to take... I can't. Why don't you guys just sit down or have some breakfast or something?
I don't know, Steve, what...
Okay.
The plane has landed, but they still have to clean it out.
Yeah, that's what the... And it's going to be a while, Mr. Dooley.
I don't know about that.
All right, so maybe you guys ought to just rent a car and drive.
That's even more dangerous.
He's afraid we'll get waylaid somewhere between King City and the, you know, and the Sacramento River.
Between King City and the Sacramento River. Why is that significant?
You know, you can laugh if you want, Phil.
Laugh at my misfortune, Mr. Henry.
Pay off your gambling debts, friend.
Phil?
Friend. All right.
Well, Phil, what we have here is Haunted Air. And I know on your video cast, you can show the pictures for people that do not have Phil Hendry in HD, or the Phil Hendry video cast in HD, maybe you can describe it to them.
Right. Well, here's the first picture I'm looking at is three people wearing these bags over their heads.
Wait. No, those...
No, aren't those...
Those are their real faces, aren't they?
No, those are not their real faces.
What the hell do you people think those are the real faces?
I thought this was some kind of a well, they said a charnel house and
You know what a charnel house is?
A charnel house is a isn't that like a museum?
No, a charnel house is what they used to have where they threw the bones and the just the old remains of skeletons that they found. They would throw them into a charnel house while they were digging, you know, other graves.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty weird. But what we're looking at here, Bobby, is those are masks.
I thought these people were freaks.
Yeah, I thought they had something wrong with their head.
The only thing that's anybody with the head that they got something wrong with is you, okay?
Say that again?
The only person... All right, so what you're looking at here, folks, if you're watching Phil TV in HD, and even if you're not, these are all old Halloween costumes from... And what are the years, Bobby?
The year that we're dealing with here, well, the years, 1875 through 1955. So you're talking about a time before they had these professional costume stores, before there were these professional... Halloween decorations and things like that. These are all very homemade.
Now, here's one here. These are all like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All of these people are in sorcerer costumes or something.
Yeah, that guy. Look at the guy there with a dark face. And I asked him, no, he's not a black man.
No, it's pretty obvious the guy's got on some kind of face paint. But these people have on, they're wearing these like sorcerer hats. And the one dude has got this face that's been painted black. All the other masks, these are homemade masks?
These masks are homemade, Phil, from whatever people had. Mostly these are masks that were made out of, you know, pillowcases, bits of cloth, sheets, and they would carve the, you know, cut out eye holes. And this was Halloween.
Now, here's a couple of kids. I don't think there's anything freakier in this book than kids, you know?
Yeah, this is the part that really disturbed me, and I told my sons, we have three boys, I said, if I ever see you come around the corner in a mask like this, I'll have no choice but to lift you over my head and throw you through a window.
Yeah, we'd have no choice.
Why would you say something like that to your son?
Because it'd scare the hell out of me. Is that good enough?
No, it is not good enough. You should know that these are little boys. They're playing with their masks. They're playing with their...
Playing with their what?
With their masks.
Oh, yep.
I said playing with their masks. They're playing with these costumes.
But they look scary, and that trumps everything. And if I see some little boy come around the corner with a head that is the size of his torso, that trumps me being his mother. He has turned into a freak and a ghoul, and I'll drop kick his ass.
Yep. Gotta drop kick him.
No, I've got to sit down. I'm getting palpitations.
Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here from the Burbank Airport, waiting to head up to San Francisco, ostensibly for a vacation, although we've now found out that Steve is trying to get ahead of some guys that he owes money to. You ought to get together with Ted Bell.
Yeah, why? I already know Ted Bell. He put me to work in his restaurant.
By the way, I really have to say there's a commercial on called TryFoodLovers.com, and the woman that they put up here as an example of one who has lost lots of weight has a really big rear end. I mean, a huge...
Oh, yes, she is, yeah.
I mean, her ass is huge. Now.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, you hung up on him.
Did I really? That's about the 9 millionth time you've told me that I've hung up on someone, and I didn't know that I did that. Yeah, I did. Let them catch their plane.
Don't call them back.
No, don't call them back. Let them catch their plane and get out of L.A. and go up to San Francisco, and Steve can hide in the hotel room all weekend. He owes money to some guys.
I think these are guys just... These are college buddies, aren't they?
He didn't go to college.
High school buddies.
He barely went to high school.
Middle school friends.
I don't know. Cub Scouts.
Whatever. He owes them money for what?
Whatever he owes them money for. All right.
I think it's from the man camp. I think they all got together and pooled their money and went up to the Dean Wheeler band camp because they thought it was going to be a lot of fun, and it turned out to be a nightmare.
Yeah, a nightmare. I know, Margaret.
Well, we had some comments about that on Twitter, apparently resurrecting the 2 summers or 3 summers ago when Steve Dooley went up there. And one of the guys fell into what he thought was a bungee pit. And
what's a bungee pit?
It's got stakes sticking up. And apparently Wheeler runs this thing like a, whatever you want to call it, like a damn prisoner of war camp. All right, going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've already had the rendition of 26 Miles Across the Sea. Now we're talking about weird. Let's take a look at some more of these, let's take a look at some more of these Halloween costumes. You want to?
Well, it is very, it's very weird and very unsettling.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Yeah, it's called Haunted Air. It's
all messed up, man.
Be right back.
By the way, you know, I sang the song 26 Miles Across the Sea. Now, that if I could do that a cappella, I think we'd be much, much...
Yeah, let's do that, Miss Gray.
I will. And just hold on for a minute. But I want to tell everyone that as long as you're at YouTube, and as long as you're over there, why don't you visit our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. You'll see all kinds of videos. You'll see all kinds of performance there. You'll see magnificent performance as it is performed by Mr. Hendry. You'll also see me. You'll also see the general. You'll see us all, and you'll see us real good.
Why are you doing that?
Well, isn't that the way you wanted me to read that?
Well, I'm not exactly. I mean, you say,
We just wanted you to give it that real kind of, that feel, you know, that Kevin Spacey in Consenting Adults.
Kevin Spacey in Consenting Adults? Oh, my God.
What are you talking about, bud?
In Consenting Adults, Kevin Spacey says, the reason why I'm so good, you know what I mean?
All right, I'll try it. So you can watch our videos at youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman and see just how good we are. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
What are you? You know what? You people have left the planet Earth. You really have. You are now, I think, in danger of losing oxygen and being jettisoned out into the vacuum of space, I hope. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Hey, hey, speaking of that, General, did you like Gravity the other night?
What was, oh, is that the movie with that kid, that Bullock, right?
Yes, what'd you think?
I thought it was very good indeed. I love the special effects, as they say, and I thought she was quite remarkable.
Wasn't she great in that? That's a movie I can watch again and again because of, not for the special effects, but for her performance there inside that little spaceship.
Yeah, she loses, she flips her lid, doesn't she?
Well, at one point, I think the character she's playing is hallucinating, isn't she?
Yeah, she hallucinates seeing her ex-mate, you know, her ex, her colleague, her comrade, George Clooney, who got, I guess he sacrificed himself so she would be saved, and she loses two of her comrades, her space flight, her
co-astronauts.
Yeah, we did call a co-astronaut.
A co-astronaut.
A co-astronaut.
Oh, General, don't be a jackball.
What do you mean, a jet? Don't you call me that.
All right, a co-astronaut, whatever the hell. So she loses her two, you know, companions, flight guys. I guess there's some kind of word that I'm missing here. And off they, one of them dies horribly, and the other guy, Clooney, you can't have Clooney die horribly.
Yeah, the other guy, like, lost part of his face or something.
Well, the other man was, the other character was, he lost the vacuum in his spaceship, or in his spacesuit. Clooney, I don't think they would dare sit still for seeing, you know, the audience wouldn't want to see Clooney's, like, head blown up. Although, you know...
Well, there are some sadistic members of the audience that would probably enjoy that. But no, you're right. He's our hero.
Yeah. Plus, she had to, like, hallucinate that she saw him again. So, that was pretty heavy, though.
Yeah, I liked that movie. And then I liked the other one that I thought was very good. Missile to the Moon. Or no, Missiles to the Moon. You and I watched that, bud, right?
Are you kidding me? That thing blew every kind of chimp in the tree.
Every kind of chimp in the tree? You must have been watching a different movie from me.
What movie was this?
Oh, it's fantastic. They land on the moon, and then the guy comes out from behind the shadow of the rock into the blazing sun, and he goes, ah, you know, and he blows up and he burns up. Now, the reason why he went into the blazing sun is he was trying to get away from the rock monster.
Oh, the rock monster.
Forget it. Hey, General, I'm trying to explain about a movie that I liked, and nobody wants to hear anything about it. And they...
They're talking about the rock monster on the moon?
No, the rock monster on Pluto. Yes, the rock monster on the moon.
Well, wait. Why would you want to watch...
By the way, Phil, would you stop interrupting everybody with... Just say, excuse me, General.
Excuse me, General.
Yes?
Why would you be so fascinated with a film that's got, it's been, you know, 40 plus years since we landed on the moon. We all know what it looks like on the moon now. We all know that you don't burn up in the sun. Why would you be interested in that?
Because a friend of mine was an extra and he played one of the rock creatures. Okay.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Buddy of mine, he'd washed out of the academy and he was... came out to Hollywood, and he played one of the rock creatures. That, and I went and I saw it, and I went, look at that. There's his name was Jervy. Jervy. I thought it was Jeffrey or Jerry, but it's actually Jervy.
Uh-huh.
But what do you mean, Jervy?
I think his parents combined the two words. But anyway, Jervy.
All right, so Jervy was there in a rock creature.
Yeah, it was very, very realistic.
Well, how do you know it's realistic? There ain't no rock creature.
Because in my mind, if there were rock creatures, get it together, will you? In my mind, in my immutable mind, if I...
In your immutable mind, you're about to bust into some Buddha thing or something, right?
No, I'm quoting Jack Kerouac.
Jack Kerouac had written a poem about the non-immutable mind.
Mr. Henry, we're getting too far afield now.
Yeah, we can't be talking about beatnik poetry because people are going to just, they're going to revolt and they will never, whatever. All right, Margaret, you don't need any music.
No, I don't need any music. What I do need, though, before I turn into, by the way, are we all done with Haunted Air?
Oh, I don't know. We hung up on Bobby. I guess we are. We're all done with Haunted Air. I apologize, Bobby, for hanging up on you, but you suck.
There you go. You finally said it.
Yeah. The Haunted Air book, highly recommended if you don't buy it. And I am plugging this guy's book, and, you know, I could care less, but it's cool. But I would take a look at some of the photos if you want. They're online at, what is it?
Like at Amazon.
At Amazon. There you go. In fact, if you go to see Haunted Air, go through the banner on our homepage. Just go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and go right through the banner, and it is the magical porthole to the world of excitement and glee and fun like you ain't never seen before in your life. But some of these photos are just flip you out, Jack.
Oh, look at this. This is a little girl, and she's in some ghoulish mask. What parent would dress their child up like that?
Here's one that I really like. It's someone in a wheelchair. And, I don't think this is Haunted Air, man. I think this particular photograph is from a collection of pictures by Diane Arbus, if I'm not mistaken.
Who's that?
She took some rather macabre-looking things, too. Just really, really messed up stuff. Some real Haunted Air. I don't know if this is Haunted Air, the book, or they're putting in some other pictures in there, but it's scary. All right, we're going to be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I got a couple of other things. A couple of little pieces of business got to take care of. She was acting up, then I fucked
her once and never fucked again. Well, I don't want to read a commercial when I've got this slop, Drake.
I'll do it, okay? Hey, join our email list so we can send you important updates on the show. Make sure you sign up for our email. And if you are sharing the podcast with your friends, your family, and also on social media, make sure you give us a rating and a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And you have been very kind, and God bless all of you. And just I'll say anything. I'll say anything, I'll do anything, I'll go anywhere, I'll be anything for a rating and review on iTunes that's a good one, okay? World famous Phil Henry Show. All right, so, Margaret, go ahead.
All right, well, turn that slob down. All right.
That slob, that's Drake. He rules the roost in hip-hop.
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
All right, no more comments about Drake. You either like him or you don't.
All right, so the song for the Chicago Cub... is 26 miles across? Did you find out, Bud?
Oh, I don't know.
I know they lost a couple of games to the Mets already.
All right, 26 miles across the sea. I'll just, you know, like this. Can you do that, Phil?
Yeah.
There. 26 miles across the sea. Sandy Catalina is a-waiting for me.
Wait.
What?
Santy?
Yes, Phil, Santy, because that is the colloquial.
That's the colloquial.
No, I never heard it, the colloquial. Santa Catalina.
I'll sing it the way I want to sing it. Do you understand me?
Yes, ma'am.
Do it.
Right.
Yeah. 26 miles across the sea. Oh, I'm bored with this.
All right, so our next bit of... one of the problems we're having this morning, folks, if it sounds like we're sort of scrambling, it's because we had a power outage overnight.
Oh, for God's sake, not again. You want to go down to that supervisor meeting in Ventura County and kick some ass.
Oh, yeah, that'll really work.
Well, I got to go down and talk to him or something.
Those guys don't want to hear... Let me tell you something about the neighborhood that we're in here in the El Pacifico is a very old business area of the beach, okay? I mean, we have our studio, and then there's like a hamburger stand and a taco stand.
So in other words, there's all of these hamburger and taco stands, and there's Phil's radio company.
Yeah. Well, at least you got somewhere to go for lunch.
Yeah, you know, there's a friend of mine who had an office in Beverly Hills, and it was on Santa Monica, and it couldn't have been cheap. And I said, why here? He said, because there's all these great places to go to lunch. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So when we moved our office into the Pacifico, I said, look at this. We got Pepe's Tacos here. We got Big Daddy. We got the Jetty Cafe. We got the Corner Market. We got Quincy Street. I'm in heaven, man. Heaven.
Beautiful pussy when I look down. It comes full.
All right, folks. What better to do? He called RC Collins joining us from the, well, I don't know where he is. He's up in San Leandro, California right now. He's heading on into work. He's, as you know, RC's working for his dad these days. RC, a very pleasant good morning to you, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Henry. Good morning, Mrs. Gray. And good morning to the general and to the Dickman. And
you're going to call me the Dickman?
Well, you said you wanted to be the Dickman on account of that other guy's called the Delmonico.
I was joking around.
You really want to be called the Dickman?
No. No, I think it's a good name for you.
I think it's a wonderful name for you, bud, and I think you should consider being the Dickman.
Yeah, you just want to say that because you think you're calling me the Dickman.
Okay, forget about it, will you? So what's going on there, RC?
Oh, good morning, General. Well, I'm on my way into... I'm going into the office right now. As you know, I work for Father. I'm one of the plant managers over here in the San Leandro area. Are you familiar with the San Leandro area, Mr. Henry?
No, I'm not really familiar with the, I guess, the industrial areas of the Bay Area, although San Leandro is not. You know, I will tell you this.
Okay, well, that's great. Thanks. So, anyway.
You asked me a question.
All right. Jesus.
Go on, Phil. My dad worked for a company that had a headquarter. I say a headquarter because I think they had more than one headquarters, you know?
A headquarter. Do you realize how filthy that sounds?
Yeah, pretty much. But they were headquartered, at least in part, in San Leandro, California, so that's why I know a little bit about them.
Well, Father's plant has been in that part of the Bay Area for quite some time. Or as Bill Dance would say on those fishing commercials, quite some time. But I can tell you...
But are you guys doing some kind of a comedy bit here or something? Because if you are, I'd like to be allowed to leave.
We're trying to get some... Go ahead, RC.
Yeah, General, it just, if you don't mind, sir, with all of the greatest of respect to you, sit down, have a tuna fish sandwich, some fucking thing.
Watch the language, all right?
I was just quoting that one movie.
Jesus H. Christ, are you talking to me?
I apologize, sir.
You guys all done?
Oh, hold on, yeah. Right here. I'm being driven to work this morning. I'm using Father's driver. Sam, how you say hello to everyone?
Hello.
Hi, Sam. How you doing?
Hello, Sam.
Hi.
Sam, if you wouldn't mind, there's a Long John Silver's here. I'd like to get a fish stick.
Sure.
So,
That's kind of weird for a breakfast, isn't it?
Just don't worry about it, Phil, okay? So anyway, I'm on my way over to where Father has the plan, and I'll be doing my supervisorial work.
Supervisorial.
I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, pull it in right here. Get in real tight to that talk machine.
Are you talking about the?
Yeah, where you order the food. Get a yeah. Tuck it in real tight. Hey.
Margaret.
Yeah, I want to get a fish stick and I want to get some tartar sauce and I want it now. Okay, Phil.
Don't you think you ought to be more polite to people?
No. All right. So anyway, What really wanted to talk to you about today, Phil, is I believe, and I just want everyone to know, why are we pulling out?
Closed.
Oh, no wonder the guy wasn't talking. We got to go find another place.
All right, that's fine. Just, so why are we talking to you?
Gee, I don't know, Phil. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Will you let the kid explain?
Thank you very much, General. Phil, Margaret, Bud, Robert, General, I have a young lady in my life that I'm very...
Oh, that's wonderful, RC.
Yeah, I'm very serious about.
What is her name?
Her name is Etheline. It was Ethel, and then her father and mother decided it sounded too much like the kind of gasoline you buy. So they turned it into Etheline. And I said to her that sounds worse, and she said, I think so too, but what are you going to do when you got a couple of R-E-T-A-R-D-S.
All right, you don't have to use that word.
Yeah, that's not very nice.
No, but it's true. They are mentally deficient. And
all right, well, if they are, you still don't have to use the word.
Sorry.
Are you saying this girl's parents are developmentally disabled?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
And yet they raised her and did their very best.
Yeah, they did. Her socks don't match. A lot of days, only half of her head is combed. I mean, there's some stuff that's really weird about her, but she's sane. And I will say to her, well, how come you look like that? And she'll say, I got a couplet. You know, and then she'll point to her parents and kind of do that circular motion in the head. Thank you very much.
Hey, don't you hang up.
I'm pretending.
R.C. Collins is with us. So you're in love.
I am in love. She's a wonderful girl, and, you know, I want to take it slowly and carefully. But I think she's a terrific gal. Because of the background she comes from, things are not quite the way they ought to be. She will, for instance, some days, because she learned that this was okay to do, some days we'll be in, like, for instance, if we go to a movie theater, she'll just go, hey, you know, yell at the screen because her mom did that occasionally.
All right, you know, this is very, very uncomfortable, R.C., to be talking about this.
Well, she was raised in a loving home, though.
So anyway, she'd go to a movie theater and her mother would yell at the screen?
Well, her mom would say, hey, don't go in that room, you know, or stuff like that.
Well, a lot of people do that. They're not necessarily developmentally disabled.
Well, that may well be, but this girl, you know, Etheline tells me that happened all the time, no matter where they went. They would be in a supermarket, and they'd look at a box boy, and her mother would yell, don't go in that room, to the box boy.
Okay, we're talking to R.C. Collins.
Well, look, Phil, when you go, okay, it makes it sound like I'm hooked up with some sort of a coven of half-wits. That's not it at all. She's a beautiful girl, and her parents are wonderful people, but they're a little slow.
All right, well, that's all you needed to say. We're talking to R.C. Collins here, who's on his way to work this morning.
Still looking for that Long John Silver, too.
I'm going.
Long John Silver is back east, man. Are you sure you're not talking about Red Lobster?
Any fish joint. I just need fish.
Now, that's very unusual for breakfast, isn't it?
Not really, no. We ate fish a lot when I was at the military. Right here. Yeah, there it is. Red Lobster, pull in.
What do you think I'm going to do?
I don't know. I didn't think you were going to do anything. Just pull in. They got to drive up?
No.
Oh, fuck.
Will you watch your language?
Sorry, I thought they had a drive up, Phil. They don't.
All right, I got to get going, man.
Well, I just wanted you to know I'm in love and I'm looking for fish.
Well, not necessarily mutually exclusive.
Ow! Did you ever do that?
All right, thanks very much, R.C.
Thank you, Ms. Gray, for having my back.
You're welcome, R.C.
This is R.C. Collins in San Leandro, California, looking for a fish stick.
What is this show, man?
Hey, man, it's your show, not mine. I just sit... Your world, boss. I'm just sitting here cutting the occasional fart in it.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, well, anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. On Podcast One, I'm Margaret Gray.
This is General Galen Shaw, and you tune in tomorrow for more of this, whatever this is.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Yay! Yay!